Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by American Hip Institute.
Defending Moulton on the inbounds above the three-point arc. Sideline left, 24 on the clock, 51 seconds remaining. 107 to 105 Bulls. Maxey high screen from Reed. Maxey against Levine, belt high, right-hand dribble to the rim. Shot blocked, kept in play by Boots to Levine. Oh, my goodness, great defense by the Bulls.
Wasn't pretty, but it got the job done. Anytime you can get a win against that team and that guy, especially in that building, it is good stuff. So here to talk some basketball with us is Ricky O'Donnell, writer, editor, and associate director of programming at SB Nation. He is on Twitter at SBN underscore Ricky. He is not only on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago.
He just gave the sign of the cross when you said he was on Twitch.
Is that what you're supposed to do? I don't know what the kids do these days when it comes to Twitch.
Oh, or maybe that's great.
Maybe the stations of the Twitch is something different that I don't know.
Hey, man, you got to pray that the Twitch mob will love you no matter what. Oh, my God. That's so great. What's up, Ricky? How are things?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Let's talk about the Bulls. Last night's game, what, if anything, did it say to you with this run that they've been on over their last 12?
Yeah, well, I think this season, you know, in a perfect world, is sort of going like the opposite of last year. Last year, they could not beat a good team. They've been able to do that a little bit so far this season. And last year, they were so terrible after the All-Star break. And right now, since the Bulls signed Patrick Beverley after the All-Star break, I believe they're 8-4. So hopefully they can close the season strong, because the end of last regular season was really rough for them. I do think Beverley has helped out in ways that I didn't really anticipate when they signed him. Just having another willing shooter out there has helped their spacing a little bit. Patrick Beverley, not the best shooter, pretty slow release on the jumper, but defenses still tend to respect him a little bit. So I think that's helped. I think he's freed up Zach LaVine a bit to work more off the ball. That's where Zach is really good, on catch and shoot attempts rather than having to try to create everything for himself off the dribble. And, you know, the Bulls probably did need another vocal leader defensively. And I think Beverley has brought that, did a pretty good job on James Harden last night. Harden clearly already in playoff mode if he's shooting 2 of 14 against the Bulls. Okay. So I think Beverley's helped them. The Bulls are playing, you know, a little bit better with him in the lineup, and you just hope they can close the season strong.
Why has DeMar's defense improved so noticeably in the last few games?
I think for one, he seems like he's healthier. He had a quad injury in February, maybe end of January, and he looked just a little sluggish on both ends of the court, I thought, in February. So everyone's been saying how much the All-Star break helped Zach, but I think it's helped DeMar too. Both of them look a little bit fresher. And they both look more engaged. And I think that, you know, part of it is just like the stakes of the season. I think an 82-game season, it's probably natural for players to kind of, you know, pace themselves a little bit. But at this point, the Bulls basically need to win every game. They have 11 games left. Ideally, they could get up to that number 8 seed. Right now, they're in the 10th spot, would be in the play-in. So I think, you know, the whole team just sort of feels the pressure and the stakes of the season, and they've just been a little bit more engaged.
We were talking about, obviously, the Patrick Beverley move has helped because they needed a point guard. They needed someone to space the floor and to shoot threes. I think, and Dan is kind of giving his endorsement to it too, they've gotten a better version of DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, completely. It hasn't been. I mean, I brought up the defense. He's doing what we asked him to do, Ricky, shooting more threes.
Yeah, and they're going in lately, which is something you can't really count on. What I like to see from DeRozan, too, is the playmaking. Like, that was something in San Antonio where he took a big step up in his career in terms of the playmaking. For the Bulls, he's sort of been a scorer. They have relied on him less as like a nominal point guard. But he's had a couple double-digit assist games lately, and I think that he just puts so much pressure on the defense with his scoring that he's sort of able to blend scoring and playmaking in a way that no one else on the team can really do. So DeRozan's been really good for the Bulls since they signed him, and that's pretty much been the case, like, consistently. He did start to dip in the middle of this year a bit, I think probably because of the injury, but he looks fresher now, had some clutch baskets yesterday, and DeRozan and LaVine, certainly not the best pair of stars in the league, but they're still pretty good. And on most nights, the Bulls can compete with any team in the league. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be favored to win or that they're going to have an easy time doing it. But those two guys, when they're locked in, at least give the Bulls a chance. And that's something they can hang their hat on, is the play-in tournament approach.
What about the guard rotation in general and the effect that Beverly has had just in the way minutes are distributed too? I think a little less Io is okay, and he can do what he does in shorter bursts. I think ideally he is that role player. And then Coby White has earned himself more time out there. His defense has gotten better. His decision-making has gotten better. And he's a guy who is playing hard. He's throwing his body around out there.
Hey, contract year for Coby. He's trying to earn his next deal right now in the stretch run. And it's weird because if you look at Kobe's numbers, this is the worst year of his career. But if you watch him play, it feels like the best year of his career by far. He's improved in very subtle ways, as you've noticed, defensively, ball handling too. He's just a little more confident, I think, on the court in terms of like when he tries to make a dribble move that he's not going to get stripped. And he's the second best shooter on the team. I mean, him and Zach are really the only two good shooters on the team who can combine volume and accuracy. And Kobe still has pretty solid positional size at 6'5", even though he's never really seemed like a big guard. He still has, you know, some solid size for the position. So I think Kobe's been good. I think Beverly, in addition to some of the other things we've named, he just sort of helps them win 50-50 balls. And for a team like the Bulls, it's been so bad in the clutch the entire season. Just like having a guy who can grab a 50-50 ball is actually really helpful for them. I think Beverly's had 3 games this month with double-digit rebounds, and the team has been really good defensive rebounding with him on the floor. So it has just given them another guy who is at least passable in terms of dribbling, passing, and shooting.
Those are all good things.
That's very important.
In the backcourt after Lonzo, like, it really has been a help.
I'm looking right now at the updated odds on FanDuel. NBA regular season MVP odds look as such. Joel Embiid is the favorite at minus 190. Nikola Jokic is the second favorite at plus 300. Giannis is plus 440. And then it drops Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Steph Curry. How do you handicap the MVP race right now?
It's a good question. I think it's super close. Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic are the three serious candidates, as you mentioned. You know, you don't want Jokic's previous two MVPs to work against him in this discussion, but nobody has won 3 in a row since Larry Bird. Like, typically, voters do get some voter fatigue and don't want to give a guy 3 in a row. I thought Jokic had it locked up, but Denver has really been struggling lately. They're starting to come back to the pack in the West. They only have a 3.5 game lead on the 1 seed now. And Jokic's defense, while I've sort of defended Jokic's defensive ability, it just seems like teams are targeting him a little bit more in like high pick and rolls and making him defend in space as much as possible. And he's sort of getting exposed in that way. So I don't really know who I would go with for the MVP. Like, Giannis has been incredible. The Bucks are the best team in the league, but this has not been Giannis's best season. He started the year pretty inefficient in terms of like his 2-point scoring by his standards. You know, he falls off from 64% to 58%, and it's a subtle difference, but it does make a difference in his MVP candidacy, I think. I want to see the last 11 games of the year before I make my MVP pick, but I still tend to think it's Jokic just because he's put up such amazing numbers while his team has also had, the best record in the West, wire to wire, pretty much.
What exactly is Alex Caruso's foot injury that continues to linger and be? It's become, it seems like a chronic issue game to game and appearance in a game to appearance in a game.
Caruso's always hurt, but it's because he plays so hard and truly maximizes everything he has out of his body to contribute to the Bulls. So, you know, foot injury, it's like it's always something with him, because when he was with the Lakers, he's playing, what, 15 to 20 minutes a game, and he's playing those minutes at 110% effort. Well, the Bulls need him to do that, but play 30 minutes or 35 minutes. And Caruso doesn't really know how to play any other way. Like I was saying, some of the players might sort of pace themselves for the end of the season. Like Caruso's never paced himself once on the court because, you know, he has a very thin margin for being able to survive on the court just with like his natural talent level and his skill level offensively. So Caruso gives you everything he has. And I think that that just sort of puts him in harm's way for injuries. He's been in and out of the lineup these last 2 years since the Bulls have signed him. They definitely need him back, because when Caruso is fully healthy and playing at his best, everyone knows this, but he's truly one of the best defensive players in the entire league and possibly the best perimeter defender. So they need him back. He's basically playing power forward for them in a lot of these lineups, despite being 6'4", but he's able to take on those assignments because of his strength, because of his skill, and just his discipline all around. So it just seems like he's always going to have some sort of injury, because probably he should be playing 15 or 20 minutes a game, but the Bulls need him for 30 or 35, and he really helps them when he's on the floor.
Ricky, as you look at the Sweet 16, this is an unprecedented Sweet 16. No one thought that this is the way that this is going to look. What's the most surprising and or most interesting matchup that you see in the Sweet 16?
I'm really interested to see Houston and Miami in the Sweet 16. I saw Miami in the United Center last year in the Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight. And that's a team that just has so much speed, so much ball handling. I think anyone could have seen them upsetting Indiana. You know, the Big Ten just never seems to have success in the tournament. There's no team in the Big Ten that plays like Miami, that's for sure. With the way they spread the floor and the way they can attack you with multiple guards, Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack. So I think that's going to be a really good matchup. I was covering the games in Des Moines and saw Texas up close. And Texas looks incredible right now. I think if we get a Texas-Houston Elite Eight game, like, to me, that's a national championship-level game talent-wise, and I think that that could really go either way. So I'm fascinated in that. And then Arkansas, too. I was sort of in the middle of the Arkansas celebration. Eric Musselman jumped right on the table right in front of me and took off his shirt and started partying with the fans. And I followed this Arkansas team closely all season because I covered the McDonald's All-American game last year, and they have three McDonald's All-Americans. They had, you know, the top incoming freshman class in the country. And you would think a team like that would get it done offensively with so much talent, but all of their star freshmen get it done on the defensive end first, with the exception of Nick Smith. But Jordan Walsh and Anthony Black, so good defensively. They have some pretty solid veteran players there, too, with Devo Davis and Ricky Council. So I think, you know, Arkansas, they got an 8 seed next to their name, but they got the talent to match up with anyone. They probably have 4 NBA players on that roster. I think the Sweet 16 is going to be really good, and there's a lot of interesting matchups on deck.
What are the chances that Rodney Terry gets that job full time, or will Texas look around the country and maybe snatch someone else's coach?
For sure. I think that, you know, if he beats Houston, you kind of got to give him the job. He's already gotten to the Sweet 16, so he should get consideration. But if he gets to the Final Four, that would just be wild. And the thing about Terry is, if you look at this Texas roster, pretty much the entire roster is transfers. There's only, like, you know, a couple guys they actually recruited. And so Terry helped them recruit these guys in the transfer portal. I mean, Tyrese Hunter, Iowa State, Marcus Carr, Minnesota, Dylan Disu, I believe, came from Vanderbilt. Literally the entire rotation is transfers, and Rodney Terry was the guy who sort of pulled some of those strings to build the roster and make this happen. So Texas is playing really good ball right now. They are so deep. They have two great guards. They have a bunch of big forwards who can finish inside and defend the paint. I was doubting them a little bit coming into the tournament, but they looked unreal in the Big 12 tournament to win the championship there. And yeah, I was so impressed with them up close, seeing them in Des Moines. So I think Terry has a legit chance to get that job. And man, if they win two more games, you kind of got to give it to him if he gets Texas to the Final Four.
I think it's the first time in, 43 years since 1980 that we haven't had any of the so-called blue bloods in Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, or Carolina.
I hate when people talk about blue blood, but aren't we excluding UCLA?
Yeah,
but isn't UCLA a blue blood?
I understand, but I think it had to do, I don't know. I've been yelled at over this. I agree with you. But this is what they say. They're called the Blue Bloods. But they're either way, they're not here. I like this mix of teams. It's a fun mix of conferences and teams at this point. That's if styles make fights, we got some pretty good fights to look forward to.
Yeah, I think so. UCLA Gonzaga, turning it back to UCLA, that game's gonna be sick. I mean, both of those teams are like veteran teams, and I feel like for the last 3-4 years, the conversation around college basketball at the national level was, well, we need fewer one-and-dones. We need guys who have been with their schools for 4 years so they can develop relationships with the fan base. Well, look at Gonzaga, Drew Timmy. He's been around for like 30 years, it feels like, and he scores 20 points in every tournament game. He's there. On UCLA, you got Jaime Jaquez, you got Tiger Campbell. These guys were in the Final Four a couple of years ago. You know, it's still sort of the same foundation of that team. So we'll see, I guess, like what the ratings look like or what the interest looks like nationally, but it does feel like in college basketball, we kind of got what people have said they wanted, which is fewer freshman-laden super teams and more veteran teams. I was watching Drake, who nearly won an NCAA tournament game this year against Miami in the first round. Drake had like 4 25-year-olds on their team. It just doesn't look anything like college basketball looked a few years ago. Now you need experience. You need guys who are willing to stay 5 or even 6 years with the COVID year that these players all have the opportunity to take now. So I do think it's going to be a really fun Sweet 16. Houston, Miami is going to be amazing. And I think we're set up for a really exciting conclusion to the tournament.
I think Alabama, San Diego State is really the one stylistically. When I watched Alabama extend their man defense like they did, I was just screaming for back cuts. Like if they're overplaying like that, you can cut them up from behind and at least, you know, challenge their athleticism and make them go top to bottom, bottom to top like that. And I think the Aztecs are the team that might try to do some of that.
Good take. I haven't thought about that one too much. To me, the bracket's setting up pretty favorably for Alabama to at least make the Final Four and honestly, even the title game now that Purdue and Marquette are out on the bottom side of that region. But San Diego State is tough because they don't beat themselves. They're really disciplined. That's another really experienced team. I mean, I swear I've ranked every year in March Madness, I do a list of top 50 players. I swear I put Matt Bradley in there 5 years in a row. He's just been around forever at San Diego State. He's a really good guard who's strong and skilled. And he's going to give the younger Alabama players some trouble in that game, I think, for sure. That's an interesting matchup. I tend to favor Alabama, but
I do too, but it's like if you ran the old-fashioned Princeton stuff. I mean, Princeton doesn't even really run Princeton anymore, but like Bill Carmody stuff, Pete Carril stuff against Alabama, that's when you could see a giant get knocked down.
Yeah, I like it. We'll see.
Is this the year where we could actually say, you know, Gonzaga is flying underneath the radar and they actually win because no one's paying attention to them?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, that game against UCLA is going to be awesome. I think that's a true coin flip. This is not even close to the best Gonzaga team compared to the last couple of years. Like their team last year with Chet was way better. The year before they had Jalen Suggs, Corey Kispert. They had like 6 pros on that team. That team was totally incredible. They lose to Baylor in the title game. But this team is still very solid, even though it's not their best team. Timmy is truly unreal. He probably feels like the best player left in the tournament, I'm tempted to say right now. He's just awesome. He totally dominated TCU in the last round. And there's just no one who can really match up with his ability to pressure the defense as a scorer and a facilitator. So I could see Gonzaga going on a run. Problem with Gonzaga is they don't defend. And their offense is awesome, but you can get some easy buckets on that team. okay, well, you're either going to need to score 90 to beat UCLA if you can't get a stop, or you're going to have to hope they go cold and just miss some jumpers in a single elimination tournament. So I worry about Gonzaga's defense because their defense is pretty weak, but their offense is awesome, and there's no one like Timmy in the field. He's
been
done for 4 years.
But I would run screen roll with his guy all game. He just can't move his feet fast enough.
Yeah, totally. And that's why he's playing college basketball right now instead of the NBA, because, you know, he just doesn't have that sort of skill set to defend in space in the league. Gonzaga does have a pretty decent secondary rim protector, a power forward, and Anton Watson, who was a guy I thought would be a prospect like 3 years ago and instead just became a pretty solid college basketball player. But you're right. Timmy, obviously, that's the weakness in his skill set. He can't really defend well in space. And UCLA can attack you in space, certainly. The Gonzaga defense is an issue, but yeah, they can really score on the other end. Right now, they got the number one offense in the country. And I think that that's going to be a late night West Coast shootout, and it's going to be super fun to watch.
A lot of basketball stuff in here. A lot of content for Hoop Heads from Ricky O'Donnell. Ricky, thanks so much. That was great.
Thanks, guys.
I love Ricky Charisma.
Pretty Ricky. SB Nation.
That's what they call him. Pretty Ricky.
As we're talking basketball, there was a really cool little broadcast moment. There's a visual aspect to it. There is, of course, the audio aspect. Anytime it involves people we love in both Kevin Harlan and Stan Van Gundy, we got to make sure we give it a run. So we will next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That guy is headed to the slammer, and it will not be a good night.
I'm glad you clarified. It's our guy, Kevin Harlan. Just a wonderful dude, a great broadcaster, and you hear his voice, and you know that it feels like something important is happening in sports when you hear him. And he has a lot of fun. You talk about broadcasters who know how to have fun with what's going on and can never lose that sense of wonder and excitement no matter what they're doing, and it's not phony. From him, it's a really cool thing for him at his stage of his career to love doing the job that he does. And he sure did last week when he and the crew were calling the Furman, Virginia game that we were watching right here, watching that go down. So we weren't able to actually hear the call of the game. And there's a camera on him and Stan,
the crew.
And Stan Van Gundy and I forgot who their third wheel was. But
Bonner.
Dan Bonner. And it's just wild what's going on as they're taking everything in.
Out there along with Cedric on the best free throw shoot. Clark in a straight jacket. He threw it away. He
And he's got his arms out.
Well, he jumps back in his seat.
Yep.
And moves his seat back. And then as he's making the call, he kind of wants the call to be clean. So he gives the signal for his analyst to lay out. Just stop talking. Now it's not the fisting that we see
whoa.
with the Lakers series.
Or the Philadelphia weather report.
That's a different thing.
That's both hands.
That was intense.
I mean,
you can't call it that. What? You can say putting up the fist.
That's what he calls it on the show.
Okay.
And when I, you know.
Was it on Winning Time?
Yes.
When he's
telling Pat Riley.
Chick Hearn.
That when I do this, you shut up. Kevin Harlan did it in a nicer way.
Well, he knows with Van Gundy, he's dealing with a guy who's doing some of this stuff at this for the first time. That's why I was telling him to stop like he was talking about Queen Latifah.
Well, I enjoyed him talking about Queen Latifah. That was a lot of fun. He's got to get his rebound.
I got to talk about Queen Latifah.
That's what I love about Kevin Harlan is that he takes the craft seriously, but he doesn't take himself seriously.
Right.
So when he gets an ad read or a promo, it's just dope. It's just so like, I'm going to have fun with this. And I think that it's added value. No one's talked about the Equalizer as much as it's been talked about over the last 2 days because of Kevin Harlan and him doing that promo. And if you're CDW, you love the fact that while he's calling the squirrel.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Why not?
Oh, see the difference?
The cat is elusive.
There's joy in this.
That cat is grandstanding.
That cat has stopped the broadcast, and I refuse to speak.
That cat could be the fastest cat if it wanted to be.
And then he grandstanded.
Yep. It'd also be the most elusive cat if he chose to be. But he chooses to try to do both things as a cat. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Especially because that cat's black.
There are state troopers all around this cat.
Well, they are.
That's
the
way John Smoltz would like
that's
it.
That's right. Surround that cat with state troopers.
Get him to act right.
That uppity cat is at it again. Doesn't know its place.
Leaping to a catch made. It's made by, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness, it's my favorite player.
When we return, I'll let you be the judge of if certain words were chosen by a certain important person for a reason.
The shade was chilling.
I thought yes. I thought without question there was intent here. Well delivered. So I'll let you be the judge what you think next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We knew about that. I mean, you know, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor has he in any type of trouble in this case. It's like in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So,
wrong spot at the wrong time, says Nate Oates about his player who brought the murder weapon to the scene where it was used to kill somebody because the guy asked for his gun and his player brought the guy the gun. But, you know, wrong place, wrong time, just the fickle whim of fate. There's really no fault. There's no blame. You just sort of find yourself sort of bringing someone the murder weapon that they asked for so they can kill somebody, and that's just kind of where you were. It happens. Well, that's Alabama basketball coach Nate Oates. Well, Alabama football coach Nick Saban announced the suspension of one of his players, Tony Mitchell, who got caught marijuana possession, enough of it that they can get him on intent to distribute. So Nick Saban was asked his thoughts about his player upon announcing the suspension of him.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So, it is what it is, but there is, cause and effect when you make, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
Like I was saying during transition yesterday, and you guys laughed at me, had this happened with Alabama football, it would have been a totally different situation.
I didn't laugh at you.
You guys laughed at me.
I didn't laugh at you. Play it back.
Jerks.
I don't think I did. Didn't mean to if I did.
It's fine. Sorry. It's fine.
But that's like, he didn't, that's not an accidental comment there.
No, that's complete, Dan, that's shade. Yeah. That is shade at our idiot basketball coach.
And that's more important. Him saying that is more significant than the governor of Alabama saying it.
There's part of me that wonders, if I were Nate Oates and I had that resource available to me.
Maybe consult?
Yeah. Hey, coach, can I talk to you for a minute? I got a little problem. How would you handle this? Well, I'd do this, and you should probably do this, but it's up to you. Not followed. The example is not followed.
We will transition with the afternoon show. They're reunited, far as I know today. Parkins and Spiegel.
It feels so good.
Next in On the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.